Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Holy Spirit of God convicts believers of their sins. At conversion, our bodies become the Spirit's temples. Today, keeping a clean house for the Holy Spirit to live in and to enjoy. Then we'll have freedom to serve the Lord unhindered. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on what we believe and the difference it should make. Now we conclude our look at the Spirit we embrace.
Now, when do you cleanse the temple? When do you cleanse your house? What about the Lutzer family? When does the place get cleaned up? Well, it depends a little bit on whether or not you're talking about the standards of Mrs. Lutzer or Mr. Lutzer. That is a difference in our home. But one thing is sure, when we have guests, it's cleaned all the time at some point. But when we have guests, boy, the house really gets it. That's the time when I get the vacuum cleaner out and we really begin to do some work at the house. Princess Diana died a tragic death. She also lived a tragic life. Many of us grieve over her death because we think of all that could have been if she had lived differently. But let's suppose that at some point when she was alive, she said she'd want to spend a weekend with you. Can you even imagine how your house would look as you prepared for royalty? My Christian friend today, royalty has taken up residence in your body. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and I will walk in them, and I shall be their God and they shall be my people. Tragic if we treat the blessed Holy Spirit of God without giving him the kind of welcome and home that he desires. Three very quick life-changing lessons. First of all, we don't have to beg the Spirit to fill us. It's not as if, you know, the Spirit is reluctant. When we ask the Holy Spirit, when we ask God to send his Spirit with power, we're not begging. What we're asking for is, God, teach us the kind of repentance that would welcome him, because he is resident with the desire to be president. It's not as if he's reluctant and says, well, I don't want to fill these people, but, you know, they beg me. No. The Spirit desires to reproduce the character of Jesus in us. So it is not as if we have to beg the Spirit. If we're not experiencing the Spirit's power, it's because we've not taken advantages of all of the different means that God has given us to prepare for the Spirit's work, the cleansing and the Word of God and other means. We're not taking advantage of that. It's not a reluctance of the Spirit. All of the responsibility at this point rests on our shoulders. Second, walking in the Spirit is an exercise of faith, not feelings. It's an exercise of faith, not feelings. Let's suppose that there are people here for sure today who've never trusted Christ as Savior. Now, in order to trust Christ as Savior, what you need to do is to depend upon the work of Jesus. You need to transfer your trust from yourself to Jesus. Give up all hope that your works are going to save you. Put all of your trust in what Jesus did and embrace that for yourself. Now, let's suppose you do that, and after you've done that, you say, well, I don't feel any different. What we need to do is to make sure that that faith has been transferred. But even if you don't feel different, that's not really the issue. The really issue is whether or not you have savingly believed in Jesus. In the very same way, sometimes we don't experience the Spirit's power. I have to tell you that often in the morning, especially because suddenly I've become so old, Often in the morning, I get up and I don't have a heart that's hot for God. I'm just wondering if I can shuffle into the bathroom and shave. You know, but that's not the issue. The issue has to do with faith. F.B. Meyer said that on one occasion he was saying to the Lord, "Oh Lord, if there is anyone that needs the filling of the Spirit, it is I, but I am too weary." He said, "I am too nervously run down to agonize." And it was as if God told him, "Look, as you received forgiveness from the dying Christ, so receive the Spirit's fullness from the ascended Christ." You see, we depend upon the cross for our forgiveness, and we depend upon the exaltation and glorification of Jesus, who, on that basis, sent the blessed Holy Spirit. We receive that by faith too. So it doesn't matter how I feel, per se, but I can say, "Father, I don't feel filled with the Spirit, but at this moment I receive the Spirit's filling in obedience. As far as I know, being obedient, I want to receive the Spirit in faith." And for those of us who sometimes experience jet lag, as Mary Welchel does when she goes to Africa and minister, Mary, I've often thought of the fact that even though we get tired, I rejoice in the fact that the Holy Spirit of God is never tired. Isn't that amazing? So we're always dependent upon the work of the Spirit. But you see, in order to experience the Spirit's power, He is so gentle that amid all the noise of the world, amid all of the things, unless you're taking out time to be silent in prayer and in the Word, you can just keep grieving Him until the day you die, and you'll make it to heaven. But it'll be kind of pitiful when you have nothing to show Jesus. My time is over, so I'll not give you the last point, but to simply tell you this, that years ago in the pyramids in Egypt, when those bodies were discovered, you know, the mummies, when they were discovered, they discovered that, how many years would that be ago? Let's suppose that the pyramids are 2,000 years old, 2,000 years before Christ, I mean, and then you add another 2,000. We're talking 4,000 or 5,000 years. They discovered grain that was put alongside some of those mummified corpses. Imagine grain. They took it, and they put it in soil. They gave it some sunshine, and they gave it some moisture, and the grain grew. Amazing. There are Christians in whom the blessed Holy Spirit of God dwells. But Jesus said, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone." All of that power, all of that life is confined because they march through life grieving the Spirit continually. No time for God, no time for the Spirit, no time for confession of sin. They are their own, and they march along through because they've never taken the time to die to self-will, our own plans, our own ownership, and because we refuse to do that, we abide alone. I do have to tell you this in conclusion. The Spirit always points to Jesus. There was a man who had a homing pigeon, and that pigeon would, he'd take it into the desert. He had a string tied to its leg. The pigeon would circle and then head for home, and then he'd gently pull it back because he knew that that was the direction he was to go. The Holy Spirit is a dove, a bird that is very sensitive, and if you let that dove go, he'll always keep pointing to Jesus. Because Jesus said, "The Spirit will not speak of himself, but he will testify of me." And the Spirit within the members of the Trinity is willing to do that. No great attention to him, but keep pointing to Jesus. So I end this message, particularly those of you who have never trusted Christ as Savior, to point to Jesus, because when you receive him as Savior, it is then that you are born again, and in that instant, that nanosecond, the Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell within you and take up his residence until the day you die, sealed until the day of redemption. Bottom line, sensitivity to the Spirit. Noise, self-will, struggle, because we want our own way. Spirit says, I'm here, but I'm not doing what I can do. Yieldedness, faith, obedience, confession. You shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the blessed Holy Spirit. Forgive us, Father, for all the times that through what we have seen, what we have said, and the way in which we have lived, forgive us for having grieved the Spirit so often, so continually. Make us sensitive to him, we pray. And we ask that this afternoon or wherever we find ourselves, that you might grant us grace to spend time in confession, in brokenness and humility, that we might die, that we might be fruit-bearing Christians. Now, before I close this prayer, what is it that you need to say to Jesus? Maybe you've never trusted Jesus as Savior. You can do that even where you are seated right now. Or maybe you're a Christian and God says to you, look, you know exactly what you have to do. Are you going to trust God right there to be obedient to what he shows you? Father, do all that and more in us and among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I hope that you are enjoying this series of messages titled, What We Believe. It's really a survey of some of the major Christian doctrines that are important for our faith. I want you to know what you believe and also why you believe it. That's why I wrote a book entitled, 7 Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible. This book gives historical reasons, prophetic reasons. It even has a discussion of the canon and how the books of the Bible came together. Essential for us to understand the doctrines of the Christian faith. Underlying those doctrines is, of course, God's Word. I wrote this book for you. If you have college students, grandchildren who are wrestling with issues regarding Christianity, I know that it will be a help to them. Thanks so much for joining us today, and I hope that you join us next time right here on Running to Win.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up The Spirit We Embrace, the 4th message in a 10-part series on what we believe. Next time on Running to Win, don't miss The Sin We Rationalize. Erwin Lutzer's book, 7 Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible, can be yours as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.